Yes, here we go. Another cracker. A guy who's won the lot, Maurice Ross. Thanks very much for coming on, mate.
Thanks for having me.
And a fellow Dundee boy. Desperate to get me our Dundee boys on. But we'll try and keep the Kens and the Eds to a minimum, all right?
Yep, absolutely, yep.
People don't understand this. Now, if anyone anyone thinks there's a bit of needle between us, it's because you're in the Adler Pirates and I was in the YMU. Have you came tooled up now?
No.
Good.
The days are gone.
So, back living in Dundee, mate?
I am. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but just the circumstance that I'm back is because obviously I lost my job in the Faroes after only, 10, 11 games.
Right.
So it's a bit unfortunate, but no, it's good to be back in Scotland. I'm seeing good people again, meeting proper football people. Mm-hmm. Bumped into John Brown at the Hibs game there, bumped into Neil Lennon, Robbie Nielsen in recent weeks. So it's good to be back and seeing proper football again.
Any guys supportive of you? Did they help you?
Well, supportive, you know, they give you time. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need, somebody to just acknowledge, oh, how you doing? What are you up to? Listen to you for 10 minutes. I mean, obviously Neil Lennon has invited me over to see how they do it at Hibs, so I'm going to take him up on that offer.
Brilliant.
Robbie's also said the same. I've been at the Murray Park, seeing how they do it there. So, no, it's nice, and I'm grateful that they're actually going to give me an afternoon and seeing how they do it.
I bet you never thought the days when you were kicking Neil Lennon, years later, you'd be in watching him, helping
not
you with your
coaching. Not at all. But listen, I think Neil's a good lad. I think he's very much misunderstood. Football man, and he's a proper manager. You see the job he's done at Hibs. And, you know, he did a decent job at Celtic as well. So, no, I think he's a good man. And for him to invite me when he could see that I was a wee bit maybe down when I was explaining I'd been sacked and whatnot, I think it's a mark of the man, actually.
Brilliant. We'll go back to the start. As I say, grew up in Dundee. Mm. What was that like growing up? Just kicking the ball about the streets?
Yeah.
Adler, as I said.
Football wasn't really in my family. The only person that was into football was my auntie Val, actually.
So what position did she play?
I don't know, but she's Celtic daft, actually. I just kind of stumbled upon it. I stayed at my mate's house and he said, oh, I've got a trial at Dundee West tomorrow morning. I didn't even have football boots or anything, so I had to borrow football boots off my mum's pal's son.
Two sizes
too big, Umbro Diamondbacks they were. And then I just stumbled upon it.
And then what, took a love for it straight away?
Basically, I just been in a wee team and just having something to look forward to on a Sunday. Me and my best mate, Keith Gibson. You probably know Keith Gibson. Uh-huh. So we were pals, that was us, we were inseparable. Just playing football all the time. Just the same as anybody else growing up in football.
So how did Rangers spot you in Dundee? Because I think there was a few. Charlie Adams came through for Dundee, Jamie Winters.
Yeah, Keith Gibson was there, Lee Wilkie came through. Do you know what, it was lunchtime. I went to the wee shop across Sandy's, a wee paper shop. I was only 12. It must have been what, first or second year. And the man that owned the shop said, oh, Rangers are looking at you. Rangers, come on. They were training at Dundee United at the time.
Right.
Yeah, okay. No, all your pals are there. What was that? And just try to ignore it. And then they waited 2 years. So they monitored me for 2 years. And then obviously they took me in. They took me on a trial game on the AstroTurf before a game. Rangers were playing at night, so it's probably maybe 1,000 people watching.
Wow.
So just the wee things, they start building you up to be, you know, you need to perform in front of crowds and all that. So I thought that was a great thing what they used to do that, because you were nervous.
The Astro across from Ibrox?
Yeah. So the people in the club deck would be watching, and then the people at the side. So it was a good grounding for young players.
And was it a no-brainer for you to eventually sign for Rangers? Was Dundee United still wanting you to sign there as well?
Yeah, I signed with Dundee United, and then you know, the good old days with the contract in pencil. But when my 14th birthday came, it was S forms in the days.
Yeah.
And my mum was like, you're not signing there. She didn't let me sign anywhere, actually. It was Man City, Newcastle, all the teams. And it was until I was 16 that I was allowed to do it.
So why Rangers?
You're 16? What, Rangers? I don't know. Man City offered me a smashing deal at that age, way, way more than what Rangers were giving me. I mean, I signed for Rangers for £45 a week. Plus my digs. And the second year I went up with 75, so I was a wee bit flush. My zone card can get covered quite easy. But, you know, Man City at that time were offering, 7, 8, 9. £700 a week, mm-hmm. and I was 30,000 signing on fee. But I want to play with Rangers.
And why was that? Just to be the treated just since you were younger?
No, it was just a feeling. Just a feeling. I believed I was going to get my chance at Rangers. I never believed, because Man City wanted me as a right winger.
You're right, Ted Jones, you're never a right winger, mate.
No, I was a centre half. I was only a right back when Dick Advocaat came in. Mm-hmm. So no, I just had a feeling, and thankfully I did. You know, I would never change that.
So how did you find that, a young boy from Dundee moving through to Glasgow and at the youth set up at Rangers?
Intimidating, really intimidating.
Why?
It's just ruthless. It's just different. I mean, you've got 22 boys there at your level, plus 20 reserve players. Then you've got 30 first team players. You just think it's going to be, it's cutthroat. Boys are cutting you up every day. But nowadays it's maybe a bit less. But it was just ruthless. One or two positions every year. Mm-hmm. You're all vying for that position. So it was sink or swim pretty quick. I mean, I remember the first week pre-season, and they'll probably not like me for saying this, but I'll omit his name. One of the boys was crying in the tunnel. Just couldn't hack it. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't hack it. The demands physically, the demands being shaven, suit on, every day, boom, 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 jobs done. Everything was just, but you're just being, it's like going into the army. You're taking a wee boy who's been the best player at his club all his days into an environment where you're just a number. Mm-hmm. 47 I was. That's how far away you are, 47. But again, we're not pandering to the masses here. We're creating Rangers players. Mm-hmm. One or two, no 20. Because the 18 of them can't hack it. And it's not the ability, it's the mental. Mm-hmm. It's the mental side. I mean, I played with some amazing youth team players. Jimmy Gibson, Stevie McAdam. I mean, these boys were super talented. But for one reason or another, just couldn't get through.
So did you take to that style then?
It took me about 6 months. I was into the whole confrontation thing, respectful, super respectful of Bomber. A wee bit scared of Bomber, you know, because of the man he is and the style of him. But he moulded me into a Rangers player. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, wee things. He used to, I remember he caught me in the laundry one day. Bomber. Big Bob's better than you. No, he's not. Yes. No, he's not. We'll see. And whack out. But then again, he can't help play me. He probably did the same to Bob. And by the way, Bob was a better footballer playing me. But he would pull me. He said, you've got to be doing extra. You're not going to be a special talent. You've got to be an athlete. So he'd pull me and do extra running with me. But maybe we'd see it. I would sneak away and Bomber would take me up the stairs and then I end up getting called Bomber's boy and all that stuff. You know, the part of it at youth team level. But no, I'm very grateful, but Bomber took me from being a wee boy into a man.
So is it more the things they say to you other than the coaching that you feel brought you on at Rangers? The things that Bomber would
say? I never understood football until Jan Bouters came into my life.
And what did he teach you?
Oh, could write a book on it. Different level, honest to God. I understood my position and as a right back and all that, but that's fine. But understanding the game completely, I think he's the first coach that says pass and stand still. You always get pass and move when you're a kid. Pass and stand still. What if you're in the right position? What do you need to move for? Let the opponent move. You save energy. And he just totally changed my way of thinking.
See, you said coaches helped you as well. Were the older boys good with you as well, players wise?
In terms of first team players?
Yeah, helping you. Or maybe being hard on you.
It was old school. Remember, I've came into the nine in a row generation. So there was no mollycoddling or you were just skivvies for the first team. Mm. I remember Trevor Stephen, but I was single minded there. Trevor Stephen came to me one day and said, probably didn't even know my name. Wee man, could you break the World Cups in for me? So no. So I got blisters. You're in the first team. I want to get in the first team. I'm not breaking your boots in. And he went and got somebody else to do it.
Where do you get that from then?
I don't know. Just single-mindedness.
Uh-huh. And that obviously helped you progress into the first team?
I think so. My attitude is why I broke into the Rangers team. Uh-huh.
So when did you start to think, right, I've got a chance of getting into the first team?
The first time was we played, I remember getting a call, Bomber said, because you had to be on the bus for a certain time, and I was just coming down the track and Bomber just shouted up, like casual, "Hey Mo, you were the first team." Like, just he never said, "Here, good luck, son," or anything. Yeah, you were the first team.
Deal with it.
I was like, "Oh, okay." And that was the weekend of the Celtic game. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be in the squad against Celtic. Can't believe this. But Dick Advocaat never put me in the squad. So Bob Malcolm never trained with the first team. I trained with the first team, and the squad came up, and Bob was in, and I was out. And John McGregor, you can't be doing that to a young lad, that. And Dick Advocaat just said, "Well, Bob's more physically ready for it now than Morris is, but Morris will be, you know."
And was that a blow to you?
Oh, you're devastated at the time, because you want to get on that first team bus. You want to hear that, you know, you'd be part of it, opening up the door and Jimmy turning up the music full blast and getting booed by the Celtic fans and stuff like that. You want to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And you're impatient when you're that age. You know, you think somebody gets 5 minutes, or that's them, they're going to be forever and you're not going to get a chance. Just immature. But you're just so keen to get on.
See, on that upbringing for Bomber and guys like Tommy McLean and stuff like that, see, if you never had that, do you think you would have made it at the Rangers first team?
I don't know. But you know, I come from a thing that kind of gets overlooked, and or maybe I'm overlooking it. You know, for a 10-year-old, I was getting coached by internationalist Maurice Malpass, Paul Sturrock. Who else was doing that?
Davey Neri, no?
Davey Bowman was there.
Bowman, uh-huh.
So for a 10-year-old, I was getting, you know, proper coaching. And I think that any club should, anything, any club in Scotland or England, should be written into players' contracts. Go and put something back in to 10-year-old boys on a Monday or a Wednesday. Not every week, but go and do it. Mm-hmm. Because it understood the game much better because of it. Mm-hmm. No, I'm Maurice Malpass, 53 caps for Scotland, telling me how to shape my body or how to move my feet and all that. That's priceless.
Because you never get that now, do you? Do you get the older players coaching kids?
Not really. And I think it's something that, I mean, a 10-year-old boy, is he going to want to listen to,
me?
A first team player, uh-huh, or a guy that's just found himself in the system at Dundee and he's got his A licence. I know what I would rather listen to. So I think it's something the clubs should definitely do. And I think they would get the rewards for it.
Just back to yourself, up to him with the first team, as you said, how did you find the standard? Because you said you were limited ability-wise.
We used to do 5v2 boxes. 5v2. Uh-huh. And it was 5 square metres.
Wow, tight.
Tight, mate. And there's two guy and all that, and Jonas Tern and like Claudio Reyna and stuff like that. I'd never seen him in the middle. I was constantly in the middle. It was a doing for me. I hated the boxes. But then, slowly but surely, you start to find your rhythm. And of course, I was still often in. And when you're a young boy, if it's Vicky Barry and it's not perfect for him, and you go, you know what it's like. Uh-huh. So no, but it definitely makes you better. But it was nerve-wracking because every day, I'm basically treading water. I have to be really super on it every single day. And they boys, because I had so much talent, could just turn up and hear 60% session. So they're fresh all the time. Mm-hmm. You're coming in battering your head every day just to basically tread water.
But see, just even training with the players, does it bring you on as well, technically?
100%. The difference between me at 18 and 20 was big. Confidence, becoming a wee bit more mature. You're changing from a boy into a man again, and just playing with better players. So my whole thing was about positioning myself in areas of the pitch that I can influence the game without needing to dribble, for instance. Because I knew that I'd get found. I know it's a bit of a cheesy one, but Guardiola talks about it all the time, about let the ball come to youth kind of thing. These things that were getting taught to me by Jan Wouters and whatnot, Barry Ferguson, Claudio Arena. So I was getting all that in their days. It's not until later on when you've not got players that are capable of finding you in the areas, you become less
effective.
Less influential in games.
I ask everyone that comes on, you ever on the receiving end there looking for Barry Ferguson?
Oh, that was daily.
What's it?
Oh, what a crab it guy. But again, that was just the epitome of the whole, that's what he got done to him. Stuart McCall, Ian Ferguson, John Brown, that was what it was like. Mm-hmm. And Barry was the heartbeat of Rangers. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the heartbeat of Rangers.
Remember one in particular that he cracked it in there?
No, because it was just constant. So it was just every day. Mm-hmm. It was just like saying good morning, you knew you were going to get it. Mm-hmm. I remember in the cup final, I scored the opener in the Motherwell Cup final, Davy Cooper final. And then I felt, you know, I was in the zone that day, just one of the days where everything was clicking. And I came in an area that I could have shot and I could have cut it back, but by the time I thought about it, the boy had intercepted it. And Barry rifled me, absolutely destroyed me, because it was a tap-in for him. But I got caught on two minds. But again, even though we're 1-0 up, I've just scored the opener, he's hammering, berating me. Uh-huh. Just how it was.
Just the standards, eh?
Uh-huh. Aye, it's your high standards.
I always ask as well, the debut. You remember it?
I think we won, was it 7-1 at Dens?
Uh-huh. That against Dundee, huh?
I think Rosenthal, was it the boy Rosenthal? He played as well, didn't he?
Right.
I think it was one of the few games he played. It was 15 minutes ago. And I remember Big Scotty rolled me one, and Dens was Bobby. Uh-huh. That night.
Who's Scotty?
Big Scott Wilson, remember Big
oh,
Scott
the big
Wilson?
Centre half. Uh-huh.
Cracking lad. And he just rolled a square one to me, and I could see it. I could smell it was going to go over my foot. But it's,
I remember it. Uh-huh.
It's bobbled on my foot, right on the halfway line, and Dick Advocaat and Bert Van Lingen got caught on Sky Sports, by the way, laughing. Obviously, they know that I'm a wee kind of being nervous and pure stressed uh-huh. going on. Bob Obador, two of them laughing, and they've caught on Sky.
So, did you know you were getting on?
No. But he used to play kind of mind games. I remember we were playing Galatasaray. I'm not sure if it was Champions League or it was UEFA. We're Galatasaray at home. I think Hadji was playing.
Wow.
I think. In the 10 row. And half time, Morris, out you go. I'm thinking, oh, I can't be getting on here. That's Galatasaray at home. But he was just starting the mind to think, start thinking about it, and he did that for weeks. And then he gave him a chance.
So were you warming up and he shouted, you doing it, Dens?
Yeah, 15, I was yeah warming up that bottom side of the Rangers fans would be. And my mum was at the game, of course, before camera phones and that. Every single picture blurred because she was all over the place. Our boy was obviously getting on. And then, but I always remember Neil McCann, he played on the right that night, and he kept coming short for me, making it easy for me. So I only got six touches and just gave it to Neil six times, you know, just keep it simple as a young boy. But I remember that. That's a thing that, you know, he was kind of sympathetic to Bobby Pitch, making it easy for the young boy. Brilliant. I always remember that for Neil.
And was there a congratulations in that after the game for the players making your debut?
Yeah, and I obviously got the normal stuff. You get your top signed and Rod Wallace is congratulating your big Tor Andrew Foe and all that.
Brilliant.
And I came out into the foyer and my mum was there. My wee sister and that was my granny was there, and Dick Advocaat, the gaffer, comes out and just says, "Ross, you were rubbish." I walked past. That was it.
Was he a good laugh, Dick Advocaat?
Oh yeah, he had a sense of humour.
Did he, right? Because you see that wee
dry sense of humour. Uh-huh. Nice man. Never took any nonsense.
Uh-huh. Would he help you a lot?
No,
was it more of the coach?
But see when you've got top players, and every single player was top player. It's just about keeping harmony. Uh-huh. Keeping harmony and basic principles. His principles were always five attack, five defend. Five build it, you know, and five control it.
Was it? Is that what he would say?
Yeah. And tactically, just awesome. Honestly. Uh-huh. Awesome.
What do you think he's seen in you?
Just a robot. A robot.
Somebody that would do what they were asked. Uh-huh. Goes a long way, doesn't it? You only made one, that was your only appearance that season. Was that frustrating for you after you made your debut?
No, not at all. Just being up with the first team training and learning every day and smelling what it's like to be playing with top players. That's the biggest thing about leaving Rangers that killed me. No playing with top players, no seeing how they prepare, how they handle the ball, how they interact. Rangers and Celtic are always going to have good players, uh-huh. but we're talking world class players, and it's only players that you see at Chelsea now and whatnot. So it's now we're signed. Imagine Rangers signing a Chelsea striker now.
Flo, wasn't it? 12 million quid. Who were the top players, the real top players?
Every single one of them.
Were they?
Honest to God, there wasn't a bad player. I mean, even boys like, you maybe don't even think of it. Bert Kontermann. What the filter player he was.
Was he, right? Because he got a bit of a hard time here,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, because his style was maybe a bit unorthodox, but striking a football. I think it was only him and Bob Malcolm. Him and Bob Malcolm, the best strikers of football I've ever seen.
Bob's up there with them,
Bob
is
Malcolm.
He? Why do you think Bob never made it all the way to the top?
He played by Rangers.
But I mean, for more years.
I think, no, who am I to
because you've talked about him massively with his ability.
And I think, you know, I wouldn't want to badmouth anybody. If you're asking me the question, then it would be the physical side.
No, right, that
wee turn of pace. If Bob had that wee turn of pace, he would have done. But remember, there was a spell where Barry was injured, Bob was playing in the holding midfielder role, and he was sensational for 8 games. Sensational. Man of the match, controlling matches, just plugging things in front of the back four. Barry got fit, Bob, bang, out the door.
That's the hard part of being at Rangers, isn't it?
I could see it in Bob. That basically killed Bob. But, you know, it's about tiny, tiny details. Mm-hmm. Barry's the standard, out you go.
That's it. A massive highlight for you must have been starting at PSG.
Yeah.
Is that one of your first starts?
I can't remember.
I think it was.
You know, it's so long ago, you know, uh-huh. So much experience.
Would you expect it to be put in a game that size?
Sounds daft, but you're that young and cocky and all that. You think, I'm ready for this. Uh-huh. I remember Craig Moore said to me in the tunnel, we were talking about only 2 weeks ago, and Oz is obviously trying to calm me down a bit. Be a bit nervous, son? You know that, uh-huh. The way they speak. And I was like, no. And I wasn't. But there have been times when I've been nervous, but that night I wasn't nervous, and I should have been. I mean, look at the lineup for PSG that night. It was Heinze, Anelka, Akocha, Arteta, Ronaldinho,
wow.
Pochettino, Letizia in a goal. Proper lineup.
How hard was it to play against?
It wasn't hard, because you were playing with players that were just as good as him.
Wow.
So it was like, kind of cancelled each other out. If I was to play in isolation against Anelka, he would rip me to pieces. But when I'm in a system, I've got Khadija on the right, I've got Oz on my inside, I've got Barry Ferguson on the inside. It all works. So it's not just about.
So on that, is it easier to play for a Rangers than it is to play for?
100%.
It is easier, isn't it?
100%.
Why? Because just pass the ball to a good player.
You've constantly got options. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely easier.
Right.
Yeah, it's getting to that part is the difficult part.
Yeah.
Getting to that level that you've got a chance to do that. But the biggest thing we play in Rangers is the mental side, and that you must perform every single week, mm-hmm. or you get replaced. It's really tiring, mentally tiring. Yeah.
Especially for a young kid as well. Eh?
Especially when you're not good enough, and you know you're not good enough. That's the thing.
Was that constantly on your mind that you weren't good enough?
Mm. I was reminded every day.
By coaches and players?
No, not so much coaches, but you kind of like yourself. Mm-hmm. You can kid on, and I had to, bravado and all that stuff, but you know yourself. How can I go for playing thinking, oh, this is my year, and they go and size a right back internationalist? There you go, there's your answer. Standards all the time, constantly pushing it. Taking it to the next level, to the next level.
So it's not just the physical, as you say, mentally draining, just constantly challenges every week at Rangers. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Hard. Just on the PSG game, can you remember who scored the penalty? Missed the penalty, sorry.
I know who missed it before we went to penalties. De Boer. Balloon one over the bar.
But for PSG?
But we were on, I remember, because I'd played, I think, 110 minutes or something. And I got cramp. Uh-huh. So Dick took me off. And so as I've come off, we've got the penalty. Now we were on 18 grand a man that night.
Wow.
and De Boer's balloon went out of the bar, and obviously it was not much money. I'm thinking, you banned it. And then of course we ended up going through. But was it Pochettino that missed the penalty?
Klopp saved it.
Yeah.
Where'd you spend your 18 grand then? That suit jacket.
Hardly.
It's a belter.
I probably just invested it in something.
How hard is it to keep your feet on the ground as a young kid when you're playing in these big games and you're earning big money?
But yeah, of course, when you're going for dinner with your pals and that, you get the bill and you know, and you play up to it a wee bit. A Rangers player, you know, you play up to that, but it's, at the end of the day, it's a load of nonsense. But yeah, it is something that does affect you, did affect me, get carried away and stuff like that. Youth is wasted on the young, innit?
Exactly, mate. Just on that, Klaus saved the penalty. How good was Klaus?
He was exceptional. You know, for someone that's, I think he was only 5 foot 11. Uh-huh. Wasn't it big?
Same size as me, just under 6 foot.
You know, so he had immense presence, and he was a hatchet man, absolute hatchet man. But just one of these quiet leaders. You know, you've got ranters and ravers, like say Barry Ferguson type, and then you've got Klaus, who's the quiet kind of. If Klaus came in, you would kind of straighten up a wee bit, or you would
just a presence.
You would just watch what you're eating. And,
would he do stuff like that? Oh, would he?
But they were all like that.
Your diet and everything.
Oh, Ronald De Boer would come in and pinch me every day. I was 6% body fat, and he would still pinch me as if to say, 6%, I'm in better shape than you. But just, I'm watching.
Uh-huh. Just on De Boer, how good are they too?
Yeah, they, again, you know, talk about Jan Wouters teaching you about the game. They were on a different level, and they knew they were on a different level.
So they had that arrogance about them as well.
I just loved it because they knew, and everything they said, you said, I could see that. But it wasn't just De Boer. I mean, Craig Moore was a super intelligent defender. Mm. Never got enough credit, Craig Moore.
See, in training, did you ever get properly roasted by anyone? Like, is there ever one day you think
I do? Yeah. Oh, this is a good one.
Great question. It's not even on the sheet, and I've just came up with it.
Shota, we were playing maybe like a 40 by 40, maybe 50 by 50. And it's got clipped up to Shota.
Abelazzi, this is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I was always trying to be level. I always kind of teach my centre-halves, be level. Because if it comes flat, you can nick it. You know, if it comes into him, he's controlling you. So I was kind of level, but the ball was perfect then, so it came at an angle. But he's went towards it, right? So I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to steal this. But he's in one action, he's chested it. And volleyed it, so it's been bump bump over the back of me, and he's just finished it, and he just went, unlucky son, I've done it to better players than you during training.
Brilliant. He was
and
a player, wasn't he?
I'm just like, oh, he's, by the way, I've never I touched on it on the radio the other day, he's the best finisher I've seen. Never, he could blast it, but he would just pass it. It was like it was going in slow motion. Dodds, he had the same kind of talent, Billy Dodds, he had that kind of passing ability, never really smashed it in. Mm-hmm. But you can go on forever. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them
some
has
great
something.
Players. Uh-huh.
Even Moe Moles as well.
Oh, what a player.
Rod Wass. I mean, nobody really speaks about Rod Wass, but he was sensational for Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Alex McLeish came in December. Mm. Were you quite excited when he got the job?
I don't know. Is that long back? You know, it's hard to kind of mm-hmm. remember what you were thinking. Me and the manager. I still didn't like to call my managers, you know, Alec, or that. It feels kind of disrespectful. But we had a kind of love-hate thing. I remember Craig Moore says, he coaches you like he's his son. And he was hard on me. And I guess it was probably the easy thing to be hard on me because there's so many stars that never really made mistakes. So, and he was young in his management role. So I think, you know, he was in a bit of an experience as well. But he always played me in the big games for some reason. Always played me in the cup finals. Always Celtic away. And he'd play me in these games and then get dropped for Partick Thistle home.
Would you go and see him in that? Could you do that when I was a young player? Could you go and see him and ask why you'd been dropped?
Yeah, it was a bit like that. And I think that maybe infuriated him a wee bit. That who's this wee 21-year-old questioning me? But I wasn't questioning like a in a kind of, I wasn't being antagonistic. I was actually wanting to think, what can I get better at? Mm-hmm. Approach. But when you do that 2, 3, 4 times, it must become annoying.
Do you wish you'd never done that then?
No, because it's what I felt. Mm-hmm. I go much on gut feeling. If I felt it and I never did it, I would then say, well, maybe he'd have given me information that could have helped me. So, yeah.
Was McLeish a lot more one for giving the young boys a chance?
It's one of the ones, if you're good enough, you always get your chance. Mm-hmm. You always get in. I mean, Stevie Hughes played some games, Bob, myself, Al McGregor. So, no, it was a good standard, though. The boys that came in were good footballers. Stevie Hughes was a sensational Rangers player. But again, he was unlucky. He was at a time where there was 8 sensational midfielders.
Mm-hmm. Another guy, obviously, you were a fullback. Mm. No better to learn for than Arthur Newman.
Aye,
we interviewed him. Good laugh, isn't he?
He's one of life's good guys. Mm-hmm. Constantly smiling, snake caps, loves dancing. You know, he's just a cracking guy. But when you look at him now, he's probably the same weight as when he played. You know, he just lives his life properly. You know, he's just a.
Did they bring that to Rangers then, all the foreign boys? Mm. A better standard of looking after yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being big, boys like Big Ammo. Remember, I went up to lunch one day and he was just eating a mound of broccoli. That was his lunch. Just a mound of broccoli with Parmesan shaved over it. Sounds a wee bit poncy, right? Mm-hmm. But that was, they were just, I remember we were playing Dundee United away. Obviously in the morning, you didn't really eat much. So it's toast and jam or whatever. This is a bit poncy, but I just see Ronald cutting strawberries, like slicing strawberries and putting it on his toast and sprinkling sugar on it. That's just strawberry jam, Ronald. But it just looked better, right?
So they slag you for your diet? Because Arthur Newman says Barry Ferguson's diet, he had to crack down on his diet.
Yeah, but I think Barry took it on board, I think. Barry was a machine, by the way. Mm-hmm. Machine. Yeah, but there wasn't a really bad professionals in the 80s. Of course, you know, if you look at back in the 80s, there was still a drinking culture.
Did the foreign boys have a drink as well?
Yeah. They love it. Cigars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But they got on a bit and they produced and they won trophies, trebles. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to say?
Brilliant. You won your first trophy against Celtic, May 2002, Scottish Cup 3-2. One of the best games you played in?
I think it was... It was probably my best performance, like individually. The boy Thompson never kicked the ball that day.
What was your thinking? Just stop him from playing?
It was for me. He was never going to run me, ever. But my thought process when I was a fullback was: can I influence the boy in the ball that doesn't get to Thompson? Can I be close enough that I can detach from Oz? So that one doesn't get played in the middle and I can get there. So when it comes, I'm on. So that was my biggest thing and he never got his head up once. He just ended up playing it back. I had him on toast that day.
You talk about the big characters in that team. Talk us through a dressing room before that, a Celtic game in a Scottish Cup final.
Everybody is quiet. And
really?
Everybody's got the butterflies. Point Celtic, they're a phenomenal side as well, so you know it's a 50-50 shout. You know, you'll have your characters just before we go, right, hey, first to this, and all the usual cliched football chat. But being in a dressing room with foreigners, it's a different dressing room, totally different. There's a calmness, there's a level of class. It sounds a bit, again, touching that word poncy, but there was a level of class and a level of assuredness. We've got this. And that 3-2 game, even though it's 3-2, I thought we had Celtic on the ropes. I thought second half on the ropes.
You say obviously the guys have played the massive games. Have you seen any big players affected by a Celtic and Rangers game? Or was it easy for the boys, as you say?
I think Fernando Rixon's first one. I think he got a rude awakening. I think he got whipped off by Dick Advocaat at Celtic. But I think Celtic trounced Rangers 5, I think, and Rixon got whipped. I think Bobby Petter was going to town on him. Mm-hmm. I think it was that game. I think that's probably one that for me stands out, but he recovered, didn't he? You know, he went on, had a great Rangers career. But yeah, but sometimes you just have an off day. So it's not just the fact you're playing Celtic, it's just you're having an off day. But in cup finals, we had 11 boys that were at it that day.
How good was that feeling when you seen Lovenkrantz score 10 seconds to go?
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. It was just like, it was coming because Neely was terrorising their right fullback. I can't remember who it was. Was it Agat?
Maybe it would have been Agat.
Terry was destroying him, basically. And if you see it back, the ball just bounces up just before Neely strikes it. Just bounces off the ground. And it's just a perfect connection. And it's a really awkward header, actually. And when that goes in. But the most elated I felt was when Barry scored the free kick. Past Rob Douglas, top corner. Oh, that was raw. But when that went in, everybody was like, yeah, now it's on. Now it's on. Mm-hmm. And then when the final whistle went, it sounds like a bit, but I shouldn't maybe say this, but I just started greeting. Oz cuddled me.
Of course you should say it, mate.
Oz cuddled me in on the halfway line area. And I wasn't bubbling, but I just welled up. It was just, you know, all the days.
And why just the pressure of building up to the game?
All the days at Bathgate with Bomber and John McGregor, and then told you're never going to be good enough, and then you get played in the cup final against Celtic with number 8 on your back. That was Gaz's number.
You 8, right?
Number 8, aye.
Wow. So when the final whistle went, you do think of all the things?
But I think they're already in you. Mm-hmm. And then when you get that first trophy and you're playing against Celtic and your mum and that's watching, it just, the floodgates just... emotional, and then you get a shower, and then it's, you know,
party time.
Now you're a hot shot, man.
Where did you go after it?
Oh, God knows.
Steaming.
No, but we always used to go back to, it sounds ridiculous to say, we always used to go back to Ibrox when we won trophies, but it was quite frequent. And we would go and celebrate with the kitchen ladies and the staff, you know, the real people.
Good. Whose idea was that, the manager's?
That was just Rangers way.
Right. Mm. How was the atmosphere at that game?
There's that much noise, you can't hear anything. That sounds strange. Mm. You can't pick out anything. It's like white noise. You can't pick out anything. And even likes if Craig's shouting, you can. So you're basically on autopilot because you can't hear much. Mm. So if it's not like, you know, you hear it talk, playing an Ibrox or back, you're not hearing anything.
Yeah.
So you're on autopilot.
Is it that loud that you can't hear anything? Mm. Wow. Right, you've named great times for yourself and that Rangers team, and you've said it was top players. Give us one that was the best, that you looked at every day and thought, wow.
Barry.
Really?
Pound for pound, I would say Barry, aye.
And amongst your Caniggias and Newmans? And
right, I mean, it's easy to say
he was one that impressed
Caniggia because he's won a World Cup. Uh-huh. It's easy to say that, but just relentless. Ronald de Boer would say, easy Monday, easy Tuesday. Few tricks on the Thursday. No. Barry was at it every day. Again, the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But the player that would say that taught me most, it would be Oz, Craig Miller.
You've mentioned him quite a bit.
He was great for me.
What, just talking to you all the time?
Just putting you into positions that fullback should be going in at. Too many centre halves. Yeah, get in here and help me look good. Nah. I was like, I'll deal with it. You deal with him, I'll deal with him. And then over your head, I'll be in that channel to protect you. That's a real man. That's a proper Rangers player. I'll take responsibility. And do you know where I think it comes from? I think it's when Craig Moore played it right back. And Goffey was feeding him the wee, holding onto it and then throwing it to us at the last minute. You know, the crowd start on you. So he was sympathetic to me in that sense. I just looked up to him as a man and as a...
Surprised he's not went on to management?
He could do it. Mm-hmm. Oz can do it and then he puts his mind to it. I think he's that kind of guy.
Right.
So if he's not decided to do it, then it's because he's got his eye on something else.
So you're flying, you make your Scotland debut in 2002 with wee Bertie. Mm. Must have been a proud moment. You remember where you were when you got the call-up and got told you were getting called up?
I think it was a cancellation.
Right.
Somebody pulled out. And that was in my wee flat in Jordan Hill, and Al McQueese called me and said, oh, by the way, you have to report to, I think it was the hotel, the McDonald Hotel up in East Kilbride, Crutherland, is it?
East Kilbride.
And I just thought, so, okay, what do you expect, you know? So I just went up there and obviously meet up with other boys and that,
It was nice. It just happened so quick. You didn't think about it. You didn't kind of overthink it. But yeah, of course it's nice to play with your country.
So we expected to do more then? They looked at you as a Rangers player, you need to do something better than what we can.
Whereas I don't know if Rangers, they'd expect it for me, but there was certainly expected from Barry and the Celtic ones. I'm very cautious of what I'm saying, but you know, there's no bad players playing for Scotland. But just used to the top level to then have good players, but it wasn't quite the top that we were dealing with at club level.
How did you find wee Bertie?
He's just a nice man, too nice, I think. Mm-hmm. He'd some kind of, you know, I'm grateful he's gave me my Scotland caps. Just some, I think he could have got more care round about him, protected him more, because he was honest. Bertie was honest. Mm-hmm. Maybe not cute enough for the Scotland, the vultures that, you know, that follow the national team. But yeah, I'm eternally grateful for getting caps under Bertie. But there were some strange sessions that we did that I'm thinking, I will remember before the Germany game, actually. All the strikers had to stand with their legs apart, and there would be midfielders 10 yards away just rolling balls towards, you know,
their
like,
legs,
as if a nutmeg. Uh-huh. And all the defenders had to come in behind. Like basically go through the back of the strikers. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, they can get dead legs and their calves. But he was just, I don't know if he's wanting to toughen up the strikers because the Germans were going to be at it, or he wanted us to be at it. I'm just thinking that could have been, that's a risky one. Uh-huh. And one that the boys have probably never had before. So I've not done that with my players.
2002, 2003, he's going to win the treble. What a year for yourself and the club. Talk us through it.
Again, it's kind of hazy. But of course, to win a treble special, I mean, there's only seven Rangers teams, I think, that had done it before, and to be part of that. Playing in the two cup finals, never featured, I thought I'd done 19, 20 games in the league, I guess. So I'd earned the treble winner right, you know, to say I've won a treble, especially when you're playing the cup finals. If I hadn't played in the cup finals, it would feel, it wasn't really a treble for me as such, but when you play in a cup final, I think, yeah, I've earned that, and I'm super proud of that. That's for me the biggest thing that I've ever achieved in football, and that's a thing that I'm
pinnacle.
Yeah.
Did you always think that squad was capable of doing the treble?
You didn't think like that.
Nah. Why? Because Celtic are strong as
well. Yeah, they're so strong. So it's margins. I mean, if you think about it, if you win the league on the last day of the season with a goal, that's how fine the margins are. So you go from being a double winner to a treble winner by one goal. It's too close to call. So you're not allowed to think like that. Mm. You maybe quietly think, we want to win that, not that Rangers mentality. Mm-hmm.
So what you say, the squads are so good, both of them. What gave you that wee edge, you think?
Just circumstance. Right. Somebody slips, somebody gets a penalty.
Think it's that fine margins
there? Yeah. With the Celtic team, look at their team.
At that time.
I mean, look at their front three. Mm-hmm. Special time. Good. Two giants going against each other, just toe to toe, with great football players everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And did the derbies play a big part in that season as well? Winning the derbies.
Do you know what? Again, it's that far back. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But obviously, beating them in the cup final helps. But Hartson misses a penalty in the cup final. And mm-hmm. Bagamo, I think, dived in and they get a penalty. He misses it. We go on to win it. So again, margins.
Apart from the final, any other derbies that stand out, your favourite?
I think my first one at Celtic Park, I got Man of the Match from Sky and BBC. I think that would be, you know, there's a clip, obviously my mum's got all these things taped on VHS or Betamax or whatever it was. And it says that there's young Ross, looks so calm in the tunnel. But I'd just been spewing my ringer because the manager had said that I was picking up Larson at corners. Ross, seven, I'm thinking, seven. Oh no, it's Larson. Oof. And then I just felt the water coming behind here. I just nipped to the toilet and two yogurts and two bananas, right. And then you go out in the tunnel and look all calm as if it's normal. But absolutely not. But that would be the game that sticks.
Would you be nervy for most of the games?
You're basically nervous all the time. I was more nervous in the games where I knew we were going to have 70% possession. Home to Livingston and they're playing 4-5-1. They're the days because the crowd get a wee bit nervy if you don't score in that. And of course, I get it in the neck sometimes. Has been there.
How tough is that as a Rangers player when the crowd are on you, but is it hard?
Brutal. Brutal.
Can you just not shake it off?
Your body wants to tell you to just keep it simple, but then you've got your gaffer shouting, play it forward. And it's tight and you're 10 the wee passes and they get caught out. Oh. Uh-huh. Pop it in a bar and just, here you go.
You did. Just on the treble, was there big celebrations at the end of it?
Yeah, I think we probably overdone it when we won the league.
I think Barry Ferguson said
that. I think the manager gave us 3 days off.
And you had the cup final on the weekend?
On the Saturday against Dundee. And I remember I came on at half time and I got cramp.
Somebody else said that as well, I think.
How's that possible? Well, I know how it's possible because we've been let off for 3 days and we were, it's unprofessional, basically. But we grind it. Big Amo scores a header and you're a treble winner. And the rest is history.
So, great career for Rangers, obviously. We'll now go on to your management. Can you remember a time in your career that you thought, right, this is what I want to do, managing?
It was when I was at Livingston. I was 31, plagued with injury all the time. Lower back problems, led to hamstring problems all the time.
Tell us about it.
Playing for nothing, basically. Costing me money to play. I just thought, nah. And I kind of tricked myself into thinking that I'm done with football. And I went and started studying engineering. I ended up working in the oil industry for 4 years. But alongside that, I started my management. I started doing my B licence in Norway. And then just totally immersed myself with the football. Basically a nerd. And that's my life now. There's nothing else I want to do.
Mm-hmm. How did the first job in Norway come about? Solo FK?
Solo had just been relegated from the third to the fourth, and I just went up to one of their games just to get out of the house, basically. And there, a guy who'd been involved in Premier League in Norway was the kind of CEO or whatever you want to call it, and he just said, "Would you fancy it?" And I said, "I fancy it." And then went in and basically tore the place apart, put in standards. Encouraged boys that weren't getting paid to go for training twice a week to four times a week. And, you know, these boys are working. And it's a thing you hear often in Scotland, yeah, but you can't. Yeah, but how can you know? It's a mentality. Mm-hmm. Why are part-time players only training twice a week in Scotland?
Didn't I say that, mate? I'm happy to just train one time a week. But
do you want it or do you not want it? Mm-hmm. And that was what I was basically saying to the boys. I want it. And if you don't want it, you're not going to be here. I'll find somebody else at this.
Do you think that made a big difference?
Absolutely. Well, they went on and double promotion and finished fifth, which is the highest level the club's ever been at.
Brilliant.
I've never been higher since.
See, the highs as a manager, does it match the highs as a player?
No.
How come?
Because you can't boot anybody. Or you can't, you know, it's just, there's an X factor of being a player, isn't there, and winning a trophy as a player. When you win it as a manager, you don't want it. For me, anyway, I don't want to go. That's the players. The players do it for you. You can only put them in positions. You can only set them up and set, you know, certain formations and certain standards that allow them to go and play with freedom. Mm-hmm. It's about when players win it, I'm at the back of the queue. That's the boys.
What are the bits about management, especially on your first job? What did you enjoy the most?
Learning, making mistakes. I consciously made the decision that I was going to change my formation every year. So I went from 4-2-3-1 to 4-3-3. And then when I went to the Faroe Islands, I went 3-5-2-3-4-3. So now I've got a rounded view of what works, what doesn't work. So it was basically me sitting in my apprenticeship rather than just honing in and being good at 4-2-3-1. Because I might go into a job next week and I've not got players for 4-3-3.
So you need to switch it.
But then I can go on autopilot. So that was knowing you're learning and knowing you're getting better. There's no better feeling than that.
So if somebody was watching this, say a chairman or a director, what would you bring to a club as a manager? Obviously high standards.
High standards, discipline. Discipline, you would say, okay, you're fined if you're 1 minute late. Not that level of discipline. Discipline in your position. Discipline on how you train. The distances between you and the other player. Distances between you and your opponent. So that level of discipline. But no, just getting people into trouble if they're wearing the wrong socks or something. That's part of it, of course. But keeping distances and discipline in your position is the biggest thing for me.
Do you do coaching every day, or are you a manager?
I'm a head coach. I'm not a stand at the side and let coaches do everything. No, I'm hands on.
And what about style of play? Is it passing style, or is it?
Yeah. Well, again, it's you've got to win football matches. So it's everybody talks about that. I've never heard anybody say, "Yeah, I love lumping it." But if you've only got players that can lump it, then you need to lump it. It's then what you do from there. Phase two of that. Bang long. No, what do you do there? How do you contain your opponent if they counter you? All these kind of things. So no, it's very much circumstantial and what players you've got, how your style's going to be.
Just on the managers that you played under, what have you take from certain ones?
Managers, I think the best one overall would be Hoddle. I think.
Where was that?
At Wolves.
At Wolves, right?
He was special. I would say that word philosophy, but it's probably been very much the Dutch style from Jan Wouters. Man management skills from Hoddle, detail as well on your opponent. He was good at that. I just wish I can master that Walter Smith stare, no say nothing, and make players that are 40 year old when they've quit still be scared of you. I need to master that stare. Oh, that's a gift. I'm still scared of that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a man. What a.
Can you remember a time in particular that he gave you the stare? Did you do something wrong?
No, but he does. No, you've done anything wrong. It's just like, he just look at you, the side of the head there. And then you're nervous. What a gift.
Just born with that, isn't he?
Yeah, but he was, he's an oracle of football, isn't he?
Just on the future, looking to get back in it in Scotland.
Yeah.
At any level? Well, professional, obviously.
Yeah. Basically, but for me, it's not about just getting a job. It's got to be the right job, because you're going in an environment where teams just want to survive, teams just want to tick the box and just get beyond, you know, just get by kind of thing. It's not for me. It needs to be something that's got a passion, that's got a clear goal, that's going to allow me full autonomy to handle football affairs. No chairman phoning up and telling you what teams to pick and that's something
that happened in the Faroes.
It happened in the Faroe Islands, and it's something that I don't think I deserve with the level of knowledge that I have. So for me, it'll be environment, not just taking a job. That's a bad strategy. So I need to wait, be patient, still keep doing the rounds, basically. Like I said, going into places like Hibernian, Rangers, Dundee United, seeing what they're doing. Can I be part of that? I don't know. Time will tell.
I wish you all the best, mate. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Thank you.